The image I put up on the screen tonight is the image that we started with 4 weeks ago. It's currently circulating through social media and appears on lots of the Pinterest boards. It says, I am, two of the most powerful words, for what you put after them shapes your reality. We've discussed the words that Jesus has put after the I am statements in the Gospel of John, and how what Jesus says shapes our reality. We've talked about our tendency to divide that which cannot be divided in Jesus, his humanity and his divinity. We so often find ourselves focusing on the Jesus that we happen to need that day, whether it's the man who walks alongside of us, who's been through what we're going through, or whether we need the God who sits on a throne ruling with power and might. We've seen Jesus as the bread, the door, the light, the good shepherd, and now tonight the resurrection and the life. We've seen Jesus care for our physical and spiritual needs, bring light to places where darkness thrives, provide us with protection and peace, yet send us out into the world to embrace abundant life. As we approach Holy Week, we will again experience Jesus's inseparable humanity and divinity as he washes the feet, shares the last meal with the disciples, and then hangs on the cross, physically broken and dying, all the time knowing that it is God who is hanging. On Easter morning, we will celebrate as God, through his Son Jesus, defeats the power of sin and death. The sin and death which hung him on the cross, and our own sin and death which greets us each and every day. As Christians, to fully believe in Jesus is to embrace the Jesus who is fully human and fully divine. Tonight, the reading comes from John 11, verses 17 through 27. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. It's appropriate that this final week we look at this key verse in the book of John. It's where the identity of Jesus comes together. It's kind of a climax. It's the most amazing thing that he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And this phrase holds 2 promises for us. The first promise is that Jesus will be raised. The second promise is that so will we. Sin and death will be no more in our lives, and we are granted eternal life. The book of John defines eternal life as that which happens after we die. But we're also promised eternal life now, eternal and abundant life now. It always makes me wonder when I hear Christians talk about enduring life on earth now, so that we can die for something better. God didn't create us to die. God created us so that we can live an abundant life now and fear death no more. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. But what does this look like? In the text that we just read, for Mary and Martha, resurrection and life looked like Lazarus coming alive again after 4 days of being in the tomb, 4 days of death. You've likely heard the saying by Benjamin Franklin that after 3 days, fish and relatives begin to stink. So do bodies. According to popular Jewish belief, the soul hovered around the body in the grave for 3 days after death, hoping that it would re-enter the body. But after the fourth day, when the soul sees that the color of the face has changed, the soul will leave the body for good. This was the fourth day. Everyone knew that Lazarus was really dead. Yet this was precisely when Jesus came. Jesus asked for the stone to be removed from the cave, cried out to his father for help, then called to the dead man, Lazarus, come out. Jesus wanted there to be no doubt that this was a resurrection. This was life from death. And that's what resurrection looks like for Mary and Martha. Lazarus was freed from death to live then his life through the lens of the resurrection. He went home with Mary and Martha. He ate with Jesus. He was in community. He witnessed. He told other people about his rebirth. He told them about what Jesus had done in his life. We need to make sense of our life, too, in light of the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection and all the resurrections that surround us. Even when it seems like death is the only thing we are surrounded by, we too are called to witness to new life and to new birth, to witness to the life and the truth that we know, and do it in community. I found it really interesting to watch the survivors of the Marjorie Douglas Stoneman High School shooting. 17 of their friends and classmates and teachers were killed. I can only imagine the horror that they went through. 2 weeks after the shooting, the students returned to school to be with each other, to be in community with the only people in the world who shared their experience. There were therapy dogs, grief counselors, hundreds of police officers from dozens of agencies from many of the states, all very important for the students to feel loved and safe. Real healing, though, will be done in that community, in the classroom with each other. One student said that the return was kind of odd, but also calming. Some went back as a class to the closets where they had hidden, saying, we needed to just sit there and tell ourselves that we are safe. Another said it was hard watching the teachers try not to cry, trying to be strong for the students. At the end of their first day back, one said, we got through it together. In this place where death temporarily took hold, these students and families will somehow, some way, begin to see resurrection and then see life. Jean de Cassade, a French Jesuit priest back in the late 1600s, said, when one is thirsty, one quenches one's thirst by drinking, not by reading books which treat of this condition. The abundant life that we desire can't just be read about. It can't be found by going through the motions of attending church. We can't do life ourselves. We need each other. We need to witness to each other, share our experiences, our challenges, share the places where we have seen God, in the places where we struggle to see God. We must do life as a Christian in community. It was so very troubling to me when I encountered an agnostic professor when I was in seminary. He was one of the most knowledgeable theologians that I know. He can hold a Greek New Testament in one hand and an NRSV in the other, and he can tell you which prepositions have been translated correctly, which ones haven't. He can state succinctly what others believe. He knows the man Jesus, but he doesn't know the God Jesus. He doesn't know Jesus as the resurrection and the life. As we continue on this path towards Jerusalem, even though we know how the story is going to end, keep your eyes open this week with wonder and with awe, also with horror and with shock. See and experience the full humanity and the full divinity of Jesus. Then witness to both the resurrection and the life that Jesus brings to our lives. Amen.